Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms. Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This is your cold, dear. You sneeze first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestion relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we'll save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You beat all the colds you give me.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Van Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Van Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Van Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Van Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
Excuse me, is David in? He's over in the press room.
Oh, thanks. Shall I wait?
Sure.
Why, good afternoon, Miss Nancy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Slater.
Are you waiting for somebody?
Yeah, I brought David on a story.
Good. Have they got you working around here now?
No. There isn't any opening. But I just thought I'd try writing up something for the paper.
That's fine. Very enterprising. There ought to be something a pretty girl like you could do around here.
Please don't say that to him. If there is, David said he'll tell me.
All right, but I'd be glad to speak to him.
No, please, no, Mr. Slater. If he wants me, I'm sure he'll find something.
I'm sure he'd like to have you here. All of us would. Cheer us up.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. But I don't know anything about a newspaper, and I...
None of us do when we start, my dear. When I started, they paid me $11 a week to be a printer's devil.
What's that?
A printer's devil was a boy who wanted to learn the business. Hmm. He started by cleaning type, putting it in order, all handwork then, of course.
Do they need one here?
Oh, it was dirty work. A boy always did it.
Anything a boy can do, a girl can do just as well.
I forgot. Yes, of course. I beg your pardon, Ms. Nancy.
Well, can't they?
Within certain limitations. Huh. Anyhow, type cleaning is all done by machinery now. Here comes David.
Hi, Spark Buddy.
I don't think that's dignified anymore.
Neither do I, David.
Have you got anything better, sir?
How about Crackerjack?
What's that?
It's what every young man bought his girl when he took her for a trolley ride.
Oh.
If I may say, sir, the generation gap is showing.
Only because of the appalling ignorance of today's young. Crackerjack, indeed. Well, it's nice to have seen you, my dear. By the way, David, Kate called me from town. She's coming up this afternoon.
Oh, neat. Then I can talk to her about all my problems.
My dear, she's coming to talk to me. Not bad for an old generation gapper, is it? Nice to see you, Nancy.
Same here. He's such an old dear. But he just isn't with it, is he?
Don't fool yourself. Henry knows more than all Belhaven put together. That's just his protective coloring. Well, what's on your mind, Nancy?
I wrote a piece for you for the paper.
Well, great. Let's see it.
Well, I thought maybe if you saw I could be a reporter, you'd just have to take me on.
I told you, honey. As soon as there's something around here you could do.
You know, I don't think that's it at all.
What do you mean?
I don't think you want me here, David.
Of course we do.
No, I don't mean you, plural. I mean you, David.
Well, why wouldn't I?
Well, because I'm too intense. I really burn with the fire that the Belhaven Dispatch just doesn't need.
That's true enough.
You just want pallid people. I mean, I'd make you uncomfortable.
Look, honey, maybe you better show me the piece you wrote.
Oh. I went out to that chicken farm and I did some research.
That was enterprising.
Huh. That's the word Mr. Slater used. Well, it wasn't enterprising, it was desperate.
This could make it quite a piece. What's the title?
Well, I went out to that chicken farm. Remember the man who answered my ad and wanted me to come to work for him?
You never took him up?
No, but... Well, I felt I owed him something, so I went out there and got my article. There it is.
What does it take to make hens lay brown eggs? Same thing as it takes to make them lay white ones?
No, it doesn't work like that.
Oh.
No, you see, you take one variety. Well, say like barred Plymouth rocks. Well, there'll be one strain that lays brown eggs only. You with me, David?
I am. My mind was on our reader.
No, it's very simple. It hasn't anything to do with leaving the lights on at night or anything like that.
I didn't realize that.
No, it's just a matter of what certain hens do.
I got the point.
Well, you will read it.
I would miss.
And, David, you don't have to be charitable. I mean, if I haven't got it...
Oh, you've got it, honey.
Are you kidding me?
No, but I'm beginning to think I'm kidding myself.
David?
Yeah?
Do you think I ought to end it all and go into the city?
I sure do. But let me know where. Somebody's got to keep an eye on you.
Thanks, David. Bye.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who's ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333A, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models.
Bellhaven, watch your step.
Okay, thanks. I'm all right. Bye.
Kate! Joy, what a surprise!
I've got the car over there.
Well, how did you know I was coming home?
Really, Kate, you come so seldom. You ought to let your own sister know.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's all right.
But Nancy heard it this afternoon from Henry Slater. I just hate to learn about my family from outsiders. Here's the car.
Oh, well, you hop in first, Joy. You know, this is really wonderful of you.
It's nothing. I'm on the road all day. There we are. Oh. I am glad to see you, Kate.
Don't think I'm not glad to see you. Hey, what happened to all the snow?
Oh, a midwinter thaw. Kate, you look very successful. Very career girl.
You look marvelous, Joy. Oh, I just keep forgetting how great it all is here.
Best place in the world to live and bring up children.
I'm sure it is.
Kate, you will have dinner with us tomorrow night.
Well, I'd planned to go back to the city tomorrow.
Oh. I had something I wanted to talk to you about. Jim and I both have.
Oh, honey, well, in that case, I
might as well tell you. It's Nancy.
Trouble?
If there is, you're the only one who can help. Look, why don't you come home with me now and I can tell you? Unless you have to see Isabel first.
No, I wasn't going to see Isabel first. As a matter of fact, I have an appointment with Henry.
Henry Slater? What about?
Well, I want to talk to him, that's all.
Well, I better turn around and drive you down to the paper.
Oh, no, I'm going to his house.
Well, you are being mysterious.
Oh, Joy, now you know Henry was an old friend of my husband Tom and his father.
Kate, you're not going to get into that old mess about Tom again.
Joy, you are as jumpy as a cricket. I rarely get a chance to see Henry when I'm home. He's always busy, and then I have to hurry back to town. I thought I'd see him first thing this time.
I guess I am jumpy, but I have a reason. I need your help, Kate.
Well, I give you all I can, Joy. Promise. After I've seen Henry.
Kate, my dear, this is a great pleasure.
Oh, it's very nice of you, Henry, to take time in your busy day.
My busy day, as you call it, is over. You know, sometimes I wonder if the whole thing isn't a mirage. Would you care for sherry?
Yes, I would. Thanks.
Sweet or dry?
Whatever you have.
I have rather a good assortment just now. I'd offer you Madeira, but I'm afraid you wouldn't know any more about that than about Cracker Jack.
Cracker Jack?
Never mind, my dear.
Oh, Henry, a dry sherry would be lovely.
Yeah. There you are.
Thank you.
To you, Kate, and your happiness. I must say I was delighted when you called.
Oh, I should have come by to see you a long time ago.
Oh, never let the past cloud the present.
I wish it were that easy. Henry.
You?
I want to ask you a favor.
Granted, my dear.
Well, it's about Tom.
Oh?
Henry, he talked to you a lot during his illness, didn't he?
Yes, my dear. He needed someone.
Oh, I know. He wasn't talking to his father at all by then. Henry, did you ever hear Tom mention a place called Glory Point?
Glory Point? Where'd you get hold of that?
Well, I found it on several of his old sailing charts. Glory Point on the western end of Jamaica. You have heard of it. Henry, please tell me.
Features Morgan Fairchild as Kate Wakefield, Nat Polan as Anthony Cushing, and Joan Shea as Trudy Kiefer. Also appearing were Allison Argo, Carol Boardman, and Guy Rapp. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca, written by Margaret LaWorth, and brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrol. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrol has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrol's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrol, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
Ladies, gentlemen, William Makepeace Thackeray here, author of this stormy novel, Vanity Fair. I have written to no purpose if my listeners do not yet know that Miss Becky Sharp, now Mrs. Captain Rawdon Crawley, does not, will not, cannot react to any situation as another might. How then will she receive the cruel outburst she and Rawdon just have heard from Miss Crawley?
You have married my nephew for my money. Well, you have married a pauper, my clever one. Never another shilling for him, for the two of you, as long as I live, nor one sixpence after I'm dead. Out of my house, Mr. and Mrs. Crawley. Out! Out! Out!
Miss Crawley has quit the room, tottered into the hall, been helped up the staircase by eavesdropping Mrs. Bute and Miss Briggs. Becky, would not one expect her now to be sobbing in Rawdon's arms? Well, if not tears, in a fury of rage. If not tears or rage, prostrate in a faint. Well, expect what you will. Hark to what you and Rawdon get.
We're ruined, Becky. Ruined.
Ruined, fiddle-dee-dee. 'Tis all a tempest in a slop basin.
Tempest? Good gad, did you not hear what the woman said?
I expect it was heard in Piccadilly.
Thrown over, cast off, disowned, abandoned, and you name it, a tempest in a slop basin?
Darling booby, did I not warn you it might take this turn?
You said it would be passing anger, said she'd come round.
And say it again.
Didn't pass, didn't come round.
There's been no time.
I know, Auntie. I tell you, we're ruined.
You don't know, Auntie, not in this. Do you truly think she can live without us? Live in this house with only twittery Arabella Briggs. I amuse her. Briggs bores her. And do you think she could bear your not coming here, her handsome, naughty Rawdon she dotes upon like a son?
Well, that's all very well, but she said terrible, noxious things.
Oh, she did. She did. Very unsavory. Your aunt has a serpent's tongue.
In God's name, how did she find out your mother was, what she was?
Oh, la, say it. A dancing girl, an actress. How on earth did Miss Crawley... Well, I don't know. I do know it was bad, bad luck. All ruined what we planned to say about Mama, French Countess, when Auntie complained she meant you to marry a peeress. But for that, she mightn't have turned against us.
4 glasses of sherry didn't aid us either.
Oh, more bad luck. Drink puts her in a foul temper if she's cross.
The insulting thing she said of you could have choked her. Would if he'd been a man, named you a fortune hunter.
So I am.
Angel.
We both are. Why pretend we're not? We do want her fortune.
Damn it all, we married for love.
Yes. Damn it all, my dearest darling, we did.
Becky, am I still?
Do what?
Your dearest darling.
Oh, what an outlandish thing to say. You're as bad as your auntie.
I got us into this muddle. Clamored for a secret marriage, forced you into it.
No one forces Becky Sharp into anything. I longed for it too, or never would I have done it. And yes, you still are my dearest darling.
Ah, then the devil will earn his money. You're all I want.
Very gallant, dear heart, but I'm not all you need. Let us not pretend that either.
Not pretending?
You think it now, even believe it, but what are we to live on?
Cards.
Cards?
I'm the best player at cards in the regiment.
Oh, and never lose.
Oh, confound it, win more than I lose.
Yes, my love, but how many times has Aunt Matilda had to pay your gambling debts?
Knew she'd pay. Didn't play my best, played the fool. I'll not anymore.
I don't intend to live by the turn of a card or the spin of a roulette wheel, nor live in a house of cards.
But we're disowned.
Oh, have you not heard a word I've said? We'll get round, Aunt Matilda. We'll begin now.
Egad, how?
This very moment is likely she already is sick at heart. She said we must go, but she's far too stubborn to send for us. We'll pop upstairs and see her. You first, then I.
What the devil do I say?
You're sorry. You didn't mean to hurt her. You love her. You can't bear to go. If you fail, then I go in.
My pet, it'll not be easy to win her.
I don't say it'll be easy. I only say we will.
Miss Becky, Captain Rawdon.
Ah, Briggs. Auntie has sent for us.
Oh, no, sir. I'm very sorry. She hasn't.
Then why have you come?
She fell in a faint. She's only just waked from it. She moans and cries and sent Mrs. Bute and me from the room. Oh, she's most piteous.
You see, Rawdon? You see?
I've come down to send for the apothecary.
Miss Briggs, I am Miss Crawley's nurse. I will go to her, and I will decide what is needed.
Let no one fancy Miss Crawley's turbulence and palpitations are play-acting. The shock of what she has so suddenly learned has... But let Miss Arabella Briggs carry on.
Oh, no, Miss Becky. You're not to go to her. She's greatly overwrought. I've drawn the curtains and she must rest. She gave strict orders.
What orders?
Oh, I do hate to say it, I do. But you and the captain are to leave at once. She said twice over, Mrs. You and I must see to it.
Of course she said that. What else did you expect? She's making herself ill, and I shall go to her. Oh, not you, Rawdon. I'm the one who's needed now.
But it's you, Miss Becky. Excuse me. You that struck her all of a heap.
Both of us?
Yes, sir, I know.
Miss Briggs, you and Mrs. Bute heard all of it.
Did you? Well, we just happened to be passing through the hall. We couldn't but overhear.
Oh, yes.
I told Mrs. Bute we shouldn't tarry, but she said that if we...
Mrs. Bute!
Oh! She told Miss Crawley of my mother, didn't she?
Don't bother to answer. I know she did. But for her, we could have... never mind. She is the one to be got out of this house, and I am going to Miss Crawley.
Briggs, I told you to go away. I want no one here.
It is not Briggs, Miss Crawley. It is your nurse.
How dare you?
You're making yourself ill. Have I not always taken care of you when you're ill and made you well?
Who, pray, has made me ill? Not I, you.
Yes, I own it. And I am so very sorry. I never intended to hurt you.
'Tis late in the day to be sorry.
But I am no less sorry for that.
Oh, Becky, Becky, how could you have done? 1,000 lies you've told me whilst I believed you were the very flower of truth. Flower, you are the worm in the rose.
I don't deny all you say, but can you not find it in your heart to forgive me?
Your mother, a countess. An actress!
Miss Crawley, has not everyone a skeleton in the closet?
You and Rawdon pretending not even to like each other.
You'd not have approved had we told you we loved.
Was I then to approve a marriage? You have made a mockery of everything.
Miss Crawley, it is done. Rawdon and I are married. Now, he is your dear nephew. You said I was your daughter and we your two most favorite people. Are we less than that because we are married?
Less? Are you?
We are the same as ever we were.
Oh, no. No, you are not. You are less indeed, less than nothing to me now. Nothing, do you hear? What cheek to come into this chamber, try to wheedle me once again with your clever words and soft voice and sly ways. You will go from here this instant and pack your trunk. You, Giles and Rawdon, will leave my house within the hour. Or I call in the constable. Now go! Not one more word. Go!
Alas, alas. Becky has tried to make sweet amends. And all has come to naught. Oh, but come, come, love. Has there ever been a time when our Becky has not... got what she wanted? Tomorrow is another day, and tomorrow I expect you, your ever faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Studio has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxter. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Hi, I've only got a minute. My job here at home requires my full attention. I just wanted to say a few words about hair coloring. My little girl has beautiful chestnut hair, like I used to. And it made me very conscious every time I brushed her hair of the gray that had been sneaking into mine the last year or so. I'd thought about hair coloring, but using peroxide or changing my natural color turned me off. Then one day I heard about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How it had no peroxide and came in 15 shades, one just like my own. I said, okay, I'll try it.
Sure enough, loving care covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it made my hair softer and shinier, too. And some days, it's just such a comfort to peek in the mirror and see a woman who looks pretty terrific, considering her immediate surroundings.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
I think there's a piece missing on this jigsaw puzzle.
Oh, are you having trouble on that bottom corner, too?
Nothing seems to fit at all. Who did all the top border?
Aunt Maggie. This afternoon, she's really marvelous at jigsaw puzzles.
Daddy? You busy?
Oh, hi, Dad. No, I'm just fiddling around with this jigsaw.
I was wondering if I could borrow an advance on my allowance.
Sure.
What do you mean, sure? I want to know why. What do you need money for?
Now, honey, Debbie's done this before, and it's always worked out. She's 16. I think she should learn how to handle money on her own. This is the time for her to acquire a sense of responsibility. I don't think we should ask.
Well, all right.
How much of an advance do you want, sweetie pie?
Well, about $100.
$100? $100?
Well, at least. I'm not quite sure how much I'm going to need yet.
Why in the world would you need $100?
Well, you just told Mother you weren't going to ask.
Yeah, but, I mean, $100, that's something else again. I thought maybe you wanted 15 or 20.
What do you want the money for, Debbie, as I asked to begin with?
Well, I want to go skiing and I need ski boots and even new skis. I don't even have a decent-looking ski jacket.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that jacket, Jeff.
It's awful-looking.
You hardly go skiing.
Well, because I don't have anything decent to wear. My old boots are too small now.
Well, that may be, and if you're really going to do some skiing and get some use out of things, perhaps you do need new boots, but you don't have to pay for them out of your allowance. I think we can get us some new boots, can't we, dear?
Well, sure. Having just bought ski stuff for myself, I guess we can get you some new things, too, Debbie, if you're really going to go skiing now and get some use out of them.
Oh, I will. All my friends have decided to go in for skiing in a big way, and Clark is just fantastic on skis.
Clark. Big skier, huh?
I should have known there was a romance at the bottom of this. Sure, honey. You get yourself some ski boots. You want me to go with you on Saturday?
Oh, no. I have to have them before Saturday. The stores are open tonight, so Clark said he'd drive me into town and he'll help me pick out the things I need.
Oh. Well, I guess it's more fun to go with the boyfriend than Daddy, huh?
Why do you have to have things before Saturday, Debbie? Are you going skiing this weekend?
Well, yes. Clark's grandparents have a place up in Vermont, and he's invited a bunch of us to go up.
Vermont? There. Where in Vermont?
I don't remember the name. Someplace up near the Canadian border.
Well, you can't drive way up there and back in one day.
Yeah, I know.
You're not planning to go away for the whole weekend.
Yes. Everybody else is going.
Well, you're not.
Oh, Daddy.
Your father's absolutely right.
I'm 16.
You are not going off with some boy for the weekend.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, there's nothing wrong with it.
There's everything in the world wrong with it, and you are not, I repeat, not going.
Why, Debbie, I'm surprised at you.
I don't see what's wrong with it. We're just going skiing, a whole bunch of us.
Are Clark's grandparents going to be there chaperoning?
Oh, chaperoning. Don't you trust me at all?
Oh,
Debbie, it's not a question of trusting.
Well, yes, it is. Otherwise, why couldn't I go?
I asked you if Clark's grandparents are going to be there, too.
I don't know. Maybe. I didn't ask them.
Oh, didn't ask. Debbie, really.
I don't know why I have to be the one who has parents that are so old-fashioned.
All right, I'm old-fashioned. I admit it. In the years to come, you're going to be glad you had old-fashioned parents.
Why?
Because we love you and we care about you. What happens to you?
If you really love me, you'd let me have some fun once in a while.
Fun? You have fun all the time. Oh. You're talking about you're going to look back on these years having had a wonderful time. No real responsibilities. You wait until you're married with children to look after. Worrying about them. Worrying about it, making ends meet.
Oh, mother.
Your mother is right.
She isn't right. Or if she is, I don't care about that now. I'm the only one in my whole crowd who has to be in at a certain hour. The only one. Clark says you guys treat me like a baby.
I am not concerned with Clark's opinion.
That's your problem. You never want to hear anybody else's point of view. Not even mine.
Look here, young lady. Don't you talk to your mother like that.
Well, it's true. You two are both so great at telling me I have a right to my opinion, that I should express myself, and that you respect my point of view. And then when I say what I think, you tell me to forget it. In the end, it's always what you think.
Debbie, you can't go away for a whole weekend with Clark.
Why? We're not going to be alone. About six other people are going.
And their parents all approve?
Yes. You can call them and ask. Linda and Gail and Jennifer's going.
Debbie, it's not as simple as it sounds. There may be others there, so you're not alone with Clark, as you put it. But your father and I have had experience with these things, and believe me,
well,
it is not...
Well, if you've both had experience with these so-called things, then why can't I have the same experience?
I won't discuss it anymore. You're not going away with Clark. And as long as you're under this roof and I'm paying the bills, you will do as you're told to do. Is that clear?
Oh, perfectly. And if you want me to grow up hating you, you're certainly going about it in the right way. You guys treat me like a slave just because you're paying the bills, and I may just go anyway and not come back.
Remember how thrilled we were when she was born?
What I remember is my father saying the same thing to me and how I hated him when I wanted the car for a weekend party.
I heard all that. I was sitting in the den.
Are we wrong, Aunt Maggie?
No, you've got a point. But then Debbie has a point, too, I think.
Well, let's discuss it further and see what the points are.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This was your cold, dear. You sneezed first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we'll save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You mean all the colds you give me?
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrol. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrol has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrol's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrol from Bristol Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
Look, we can sit here and discuss this until we're blue in the face. I am not letting my daughter at 16 go off for a weekend with some boy.
I know how you feel exactly, and I still don't know what you meant, Aunt Maggie, when you said Debbie had a point. Now, what point?
I told you. Her friends, her girlfriends, are all going.
If their parents allow it, that's their business.
Right.
Well, it is hard not to be allowed to do what all your friends are allowed to do. And times have changed.
Well, they haven't really changed at all. They just talk about it now. I was on those unchaperoned weekends. I know what they're like. Mm.
When? Oh. When did you go off for a weekend with some guy?
Oh, in college, dear. A fraternity weekend. I was green as grass. As a result, I was really shocked. This big lodge that somebody's parents owned, but they weren't there. And all the couples gradually disappearing off into the rooms.
And you?
Oh, I was sitting in front of the fire with my date, who must have had a rotten time. As I said, I was green as grass. I kept saying, my goodness, where is everybody? I didn't know from beans what was going on. And then finally I caught on. Spent the rest of the night with my date chasing me around the furniture.
Well, you may have been green as grass, but I don't think Debbie is. It seems to me the young people nowadays are up on everything.
Well, that's the point, and I don't want Debbie involved. And I have been on those unchaperoned weekends, too, and I know what goes on.
And we were in college then, too, dear. We were a lot older than Debbie. Well, a couple of years, anyway. It makes a difference, I think.
Well, your experiences didn't seem to hurt you. And as I said, since the young people these days aren't green as grass... Maybe it wouldn't hurt Debbie either. Don't you trust her?
Yes, I just don't trust that, what's his name?
Clark.
He's nearly 18. A year ahead of Debbie in school.
Well, he is crazy about her, though,
Debbie. Well, that's the point.
Yeah, but he adores her. He always worries about her. I don't think he'd... Well, let's say it. I don't think Clark would want to get her in trouble, as the saying goes.
Oh, boy, that would be a whole new kettle of fish. I don't even want to think about it.
Well, Debbie can't be your baby girl forever.
You know, Maggie, one would think you'd be even more old-fashioned than we are.
Well, dear, sometimes it works just the opposite. And Debbie feels you don't trust her. And when people think you don't trust them, then why should they bother behaving properly? Well, I don't want the responsibility for a decision. I think you should tell Debbie you do trust her, and she will behave accordingly.
You mean let her go off on this weekend?
I simply stated my opinion. The decision is yours. But Debbie's basically a nice girl, a good girl.
Well, she may forget that if Clark starts smooching.
Oh, dear, no. Smooching is really old-fashioned.
Well, dear. I'm looking at the whole thing from a man's point of view.
Well, Clark isn't a man. He's a boy, and a very nice boy.
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to leave it up to you, dear.
I know I'm going to regret this. I just know it, because if nothing else, I'm going to go crazy all weekend while she's gone, but...
Debbie, will you come down here, please? Debbie.
Aunt Maggie, we'll go shopping tomorrow and get some food. Mm-hmm. Debbie can take a big ham and we'll make some potato salad. And
now that we've all decided,
eggs.
All you're worried about is Debbie's food.
Well,
oh, boy, that's typical.
Yes, Father.
Yes, what?
Yes, Daddy.
Oh, that's better. Your mother and I and Aunt Maggie have decided that since we really do trust you, you can go on your skiing weekend. Did you hear what I said?
Oh, yes! I just can't believe it. Oh, Daddy, thank you. And Mommy, oh, thank you. Aunt Maggie, oh, thank you. Don't worry, okay? You won't have to worry at all.
All right, have a great time.
Go call Clark. Can I call Clark?
Yes.
Sure, call him.
Oh, that's wonderful. Just wonderful. And I'm so sorry I said I hated you. I really don't. You know that.
Yeah, we know that. At least we hope not. We love you.
Well, I know it's hard, but I think you've made the right decision.
Oh, I hope so. And while she's having fun, we're going to have a terrible weekend.
Boy, you can say that again.
Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Now, stay there.
I have to. I'm frozen.
Well, now, move up the slope a little, please.
Well, if I can. How's this?
There. That's the place. Here. Now, let me mark it with a brick.
Caroline. There. Must you decide on your spring planting in the middle of winter right after a snowfall?
Well, it's the best time, Robert. You can see the lay of the land better.
Yeah, well, what was I standing in for, a weeping willow or a blue spruce?
Let me look at my list here. Ah, a Japanese maple.
Banzai. I think I've earned a drink.
Yes, dear, you have.
Oh, well, still a little life in the fireplace. All it needs is a little encouragement.
I better get Hodges to fill up the wood box. Emily likes a wood fire.
Yes, she does.
Has she been all right? No one says anything about her physical condition anymore. Is she all over it?
Oh, I don't know. We can ask Jason.
Well, wouldn't he have told you if there were anything to worry about?
Perhaps not, dear. Would you like some sherry?
Yes, Robert, I think so.
So Bobby went back to Harvard.
I'm glad to hear that.
I'm not sure Harvard will feel that way.
Robert, when would it be a good time to discuss what has to be done to start the clinic going?
Oh, Dr. Gonzalez said yes.
Not yet.
You're awfully sure of yourself.
Perhaps. Anyway, I'd like to be ready to go.
Well, when do you expect to hear from him?
Next week. Anyway, I told him I would go ahead with him or without him.
Well, that should take the pressure off him.
Yes. That's why I'm pretty sure he'll agree.
Oh, you crafty woman, you.
If you'd done that, you just have called it smart. But when I do it, it comes out crafty.
You know, you're right.
I know, dear. I'm going to check on lunch. Oh, hello, Lynn.
Hello, Caroline. I saw you out on the slope.
Well, your father is still thawing out.
Hello, Daddy. You do look a little frosty.
Oh, no, I assure you I'm a warm-hearted fellow who just needs a little fuel.
Daddy.
Can I fix you one, dear?
No, thanks.
You're looking a little down.
I am.
Any special reason?
Mm-hmm. Kurt wants to go out to Aspen.
Colorado.
I had no idea it was such a great place.
Oh, it's a wonderful state.
And so far away.
Yes, indeed.
And I'm going with him.
Oh.
You didn't really think I'd let him run off by himself, did you?
Well, I...
He's feeling awfully depressed, Daddy.
And does he think sliding down a snow-covered mountain is going to cheer him up?
He thought he might make some business connections, maybe find something. After all, he does know skiing.
All right, but I don't see why you have to go.
We're married, that's why.
You won't stay out there, will you?
It all depends on Kurt. If he could find something here...
He's just not qualified to work on anything that doesn't melt.
Daddy, he has had a good education.
Oh, really? I didn't think you needed any education.
That's enough. Just because Kurt didn't go to Harvard Law School does not mean that he is not educated.
Where did he go?
I told you, Lehigh.
Oh, yeah.
He got a degree in business administration and he studied community affairs.
That sounds like fun.
That's a new specialty, Daddy. It helps a community get organized so that they can, well, get the things they need.
Yes. Pressure group politics, isn't it?
I suppose so.
Next thing, they'll be teaching Anarchy 1.
Why is it all right for professional associations to have lobbies and not for neighborhoods?
Well, then we know how to handle power in a responsible way.
Oh, come on, Daddy. Why don't you admit that it's a private club and you want to keep it that way?
How does Emily look to you, Dad?
Jason, she hasn't looked well for a long time.
Caroline doesn't know.
Oh, no, you asked me not to tell us.
Well, Emily doesn't want everyone to know she's seriously ill. She wants to go on as long as she can.
Oh, I still can't accept it. There must be something you doctors can do about it.
God, if we only could.
Why don't you take her to another doctor?
Salvo's the best there is, Dad.
You aren't going to tell the children.
Oh, no, not until we have to.
Sorry you couldn't bring them tonight.
Well, tomorrow's school day and Susie has a test.
Jennifer's still doing nicely?
Yes. We had Dr. Ellis check her out at the hospital. He said she's almost completely recovered from the effects of the accident.
Well, at least Emily doesn't have that to worry about.
Where's Kurt, ma'am?
Oh, Annie's in town and Kurt's down at the guest cottage. He's not very good company these days.
Oh, that must be tough on Lynn.
Yeah. She'll have some news for you.
Oh, what's that?
I'll let her tell you.
Is she pregnant?
No, I hope not.
Well, you know how much she's wanted children.
Yes, but I can't see Kurt as a loving father. Oh, by the way, did you know Annie's seeing Dr. Gonzalez?
Professionally?
Oh, no, very socially.
Oh, well, Joe's a great guy.
You know what? There's just enough time before dinner for a quick one.
Oh, all right, Dad. By the way, where did Caroline and Emily go?
Oh, I think Caroline has some new beauties in the greenhouse she wants to show off. Oh, here they are now.
Robert, we're going to have to get a new thermostat for the greenhouse.
Do you have any idea, Caroline, how much each winter rose and lily costs you?
I don't want to know, Robert. It would just spoil my pleasure. I think we have time for a drink before dinner.
Oh, there's always time, ladies.
A martini. Fine for me, Robert.
Same for me, Daddy. I'll just have sherry.
Darling?
Hmm?
Lynn says she and Kurt are going out to Aspen.
Oh, you are?
Yes, that's the news I told you about.
I was going to tell you, Jason. I can make arrangements for the next two issues of the hospital newsletter. There's a secretary in the office who can handle the details.
Well, how long do you think you'll be gone?
Well, it all depends on Kurt.
Oh, here you are, Emily.
Oh, thank you, Robert.
Lynn? Caroline?
Thanks, Daddy.
Darling. Jason? Do you know someone who might be able to take on the job of preliminary work on the clinic?
You mean get it organized?
Yes.
Well, I can't think of anyone offhand.
What about Emily here?
Oh, no.
Robert.
No, he's right, Caroline. I don't think I could. Jason.
Hmm?
Jason, could you take my drink?
What is it, Em?
Can I sit? Oh, I feel dizzy.
Some water.
Emily.
Do you want some water?
Put a pillow.
Emily, can I get a few water?
Darling. Darling, are you all right?
Oh, yes. I don't know what happened. I'm all right. My knees just collapsed.
Come on, Jason. Let's take her upstairs.
I'll go with you, Emily.
Dad, can you give me a hand?
No, I think I can walk now. I really can't.
Now, Emily, you do as your husband says.
Right.
Here, darling, can you put your arms around here? And we'll
not really.
You're sure she's all right alone?
Oh, Lynn said she'd stay with her dad.
Jason?
Mm-hmm.
This is serious. Now, what's the matter with her?
Well, maybe she just died.
Oh, Robert.
Caroline, I guess I'd better tell you.
Maybe you should.
Emily is, seriously ill.
What is it?
She has a brain tumor.
Oh, no. Oh, Jason, my dear.
Caroline, she doesn't want anyone to know. I told Dad last week.
Well, I would have told you, Caroline.
I understand, darling. Poor Emily. What can be done for her?
Well, we don't know.
You mean it's very serious?
Yes.
How terrible.
Caroline, please don't say anything.
What can I tell Lynn?
Well, tell her it's a slight neurological disturbance and that we're treating it.
How long do you think that will work?
I don't know, Dad. I don't know.
Has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.
Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Rolon, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.